Hey everyone, this is Rob Motti. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Faith on a Field Show. If you want to hear any of our previous episodes, please check out our website, faithonafieldshow.com. You can also subscribe on every major podcast channel like Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, and TuneIn. Please like, share, and leave a review so others can find out about the show. We appreciate your support, and here is this week's episode presented by Cairn University. Welcome to Faith on the Field Show presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy Motti and Pastor Kyle Horner. We've got a very special guest this week, John Dorenbos, the beloved former Philadelphia Eagles long snapper. He's an incredible magician. I got to tell you guys, so before he was on America's Got Talent and all this stuff, I used to see the car tricks and everything else just in the locker room.
Really?
He'd do it for the media. For other teammates. He would do it on television for like the news cameras and stuff. And just never thought that this is going to develop into like what happened
what he's
with
doing.
It. It's incredible.
His passion,
he ends up making the finals on America's Got Talent. He's got a new book out called Life is Magic. John's really such an inspirational guy, and he's always full of positive energy, always got a smile on his face. And I really enjoyed covering his career here in Philly. He's one of those guys where you would never know what he went through. You would never know what he went through in his life because he's charismatic, he's happy, he's just so full of positive energy. And I really enjoyed chatting with him last week. So we're going to share his powerful, he's got a powerful, powerful story.
Yeah.
And it centers on forgiveness and forgiving his dad, who killed his mom when John was 12 years old. So we're going to hear John talk about that in a little bit. But we've talked about forgiveness before on the show. It's not easy.
No.
It could be very difficult depending on who did what to us.
Yes.
But I just turn to whenever it's hard for me to forgive anything, I can't even imagine what John had to do.
Yeah.
Just to think about that, right? But when it's for us, sometimes forgiveness is going to be on a smaller magnitude on a daily basis. And I feel like I just turn to what Jesus said in Matthew 6, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you.
Yeah.
But if you don't forgive others, their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And Paul wrote in Colossians 3, forgive as the Lord forgave you. I know it could be so challenging to do, but forgiveness, I feel, I don't know, like it's essential for our physical well-being, our spiritual well-being, our emotional well-being, our mental well-being.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about unforgiveness before a lot. And, you know, when we don't forgive, it's like drinking poison and expecting someone else to die.
That's so true.
You know, it's what stays inside of us. And so often we do, we confuse the fact that forgiveness is saying that what that person did is right. All right, I have to come to terms that it's okay, or it wasn't really, it's not actually validating that that thing is acceptable.
Right.
Or that thing is right. It's actually the acceptance that what Christ can bring into your life is right. Mm-hmm. And so it's the application of his forgiveness into your life that also then allows that to flow out into someone else's life. And it really is really about unlocking ourselves. Because if not, it's getting to be Christmas time and I'm always thinking about the Christmas carol and, you know, Scrooge is there at night and he sees his partner, you know, Marley coming in, visiting him, and he has all these chains and weights and he's he's trying to drag these things through eternity. And for me, that's the picture of what our soul looks like. Our spirit looks like we are still connected. Unforgiveness keeps us connected to those weights, those chains, those hurts, those pains, and it never allows us to become whole, free, and healed.
That's true. Forgiveness for me is one of those subjects that they get me. They get me every day, all day. So when I heard the interview, and I know we're not talking about it just yet, but when I heard it, I just completely just broke down. I remember I texted you, and I was
She texted me. I'm in tears. I'm like,
I was actually like full blown crying. I was like, this is hard. This is hard because it hits home for me. And to me, forgiveness is one of those subjects that I'm just like, I know I'm supposed to do it. I know I'm supposed to do it for me, but every time I think it goes back to memory for me. So I I forgave. I forgave my dad, for example. But at the same time, the memory still haunts me.
Of course.
Like, the memories are still there. So we always have to kind of go back to saying to ourselves, I just need you, Jesus, to remember, to help me reshape that memory.
Yes.
You know, because that memory was so tough for me. And every time it comes up, it hurts again. So the pain's still there.
Absolutely right.
But it's just that there's going to come a time when you forgive and you have to detach yourself from what happened. So you have to just say, I forgive you, and I'm here, so I'm detached from that pain.
Yes.
I remember it.
Yes.
I see it. I
right.
get it. But I'm detached from it. Like, I won't let it hurt me anymore.
Yes.
I would just remember it. So that was always the toughest part for me. And to this day, I'm still dealing with it because I feel like it's an ongoing thing for me. But I'm still healing.
No, and Remy, that's what you just said is right. It's you know, forgiveness is a two-part moment. It's
yeah.
it's really releasing
yeah.
ourselves from the weight of
yeah.
what that brought into us.
Right.
But then the second part is healing from the pain that event caused.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
and that's why we struggle sometimes, because we'll still feel some of the pain
yeah.
of the event, and
right.
we'll say, "But I thought I forgave." No, it's forgiveness is the ability to be able to say, I don't hold you responsible any longer for
right.
the pain that's in my life.
Right.
Wow.
And
right.
and I recognize you brought it. I recognize that I it affected my life, but I'm not going to hold you responsible any longer.
Right.
I'm forgiving that. Now what I'm going to do is actually get that healed. And I think so often what I've seen over the years is because people don't step into that second part, the healing part. They really struggle. They slip back into unforgiveness so easy because the pain
yeah.
is so great.
Mm-hmm.
The
yeah.
memory is so strong. That's why Paul talks about renewing our mind. So
yes.
what you're talking about, it's renewing that mind. It's healing over and over and over again. So, you know, if someone stabs you with a knife,
yeah.
You know, you can, there can be, when they, you can remove the knife from inside of you. That's forgiveness.
Assuming they don't kill you.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, well,
if someone
could.
Stabs
it
you with a knife,
yeah,
you know, when you forgive them, it's the removal of the knife
right.
from inside of you.
Right.
But there still needs to be a healing of
the
that
wounds.
Wound that's
right.
there.
Exactly.
So there's this amazing moment where 10 lepers come to Jesus, right? And he says, go wash in this pool, right?
Yeah.
And they go and wash, and only one of them comes back. It says when they were washed, they were cleansed. So all
yeah.
all that stuff went off of them. But only one came back and gave Jesus praise. And the Bible says he made him well.
Yeah.
That means he even removed the scars on his body. So there
right.
wasn't even any scars on his body.
Right.
That's the thing. Sometimes we get clean. Sometimes we
yeah.
wash ourselves,
right.
right? But we still are walking around with the scars because we haven't renewed
oh,
our
yeah,
mind. We
absolutely.
Haven't allowed our heart to heal.
Yeah.
And that's it's a process. You got to deal with your pain, or your
yeah.
pain will deal with you. It's just
yeah.
the truth. And then you can't blame anyone else, even though they brought it. Once you recognize that you
yeah.
have the ability to get healed, if you don't actually go through the process of being healed.
Yeah.
I like what John said.
Totally.
He's not forgiving his dad for the act of killing
right.
his mom.
Right.
Right.
It's the forgiveness for being a lost soul.
Yeah, for being broken.
We're all sinful.
Right.
We're all going to do things that are going to hurt other people in one way, shape, or form. It's
right.
going to happen. And if we understand that, what led that person to commit whatever offense it is against us is that they're just as broken as we are.
Amen.
And
yeah.
we have to find some way in our heart to forgive them. You know, we talk about not being selfish. I kind of feel in forgiving, there has to be a selfish element, right? Because we're doing it for our benefit as far as
yeah.
our spiritual well-being, our healing, our connection with God.
Yeah.
That if we can,
yeah.
so
yeah,
selfish,
see,
not from a negative
saying.
Perspective.
Right.
No,
yeah. From it's actually,
you know, like how do you
yeah.
reconcile? Like I don't want to be a selfish person,
yeah.
but I know that I need to put my best interests first. So it's tough for me to deal with whatever I have to deal with here.
Well,
and it's better for me to forgive because I'm looking out for me.
Yeah.
But then in looking out for me and forgiving, I'm able to shed God's grace and his light and his spirit on someone else.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
And let me take one step because
yeah.
I think sometimes what you're saying is the motivation people use to forgive. I need to put myself,
right.
I need to put my wholeness forward. But that's really not the basis.
Right.
Forgive as Christ forgave you. The focus is in forgiveness. Look, this is who Jesus is. Mm. Anything less than who Jesus is actually idolatry. And me putting myself first, regardless of whether it's for a good reason or not, is still idolatry. No, this is what he purchased for me on the cross. It's what he purchased for that person on the cross. It allows me to experience unconditional love and give unconditional love away. So, yeah, I agree, Rob. I think if we're forgiving only before ourselves, it's selfish.
It's selfish.
Yes,
yeah.
I think if it's a connection to who he is, mm-hmm. I don't want to be any different than who he is. And that's what he purchased and bought for my cross. And it comes out of that intimacy.
So I mentioned a couple Bible verses, and I think, you know, this is where we can fall back into the trap of checking off the boxes, right? Do what I know I'm supposed to do.
Yes, correct.
And you go, okay, well, I just read off Paul in Colossians, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Well, mm-hmm. the Lord forgave me, so I need to forgive. Mm-hmm. Jesus, forgive other people when they sin against you. Your heavenly Father will also, okay, I know I need to do this, so I'm going to do it. But if it's not genuine, if it's not heartfelt, if it's not sincere, I don't think that you can really truly get the benefit from that forgiveness and the power that can have over you.
Well, here's what I struggle with, right? And I'm sure I'm not the only one. But forgiveness also, I mean, there is two parts to it, but the person you're forgiving plays a huge role in this whole thing. So if the person you're forgiving or trying to forgive isn't sorry, that makes it so hard.
It does make it more difficult.
Okay, it makes it so hard. But then I feel
like... But you got to do it anyway.
What I learned is I have to set boundaries.
Oh, of course.
I have to set boundaries, and I have to just say to myself that I have to love you with this boundary.
Yes.
I cannot go beyond that boundary,
correct.
Because every time I go beyond that boundary, I get hurt again. So
absolutely.
I cannot keep playing this game. So forgiving someone... but still loving them the same way you have before, I'm sorry, but you're a fool.
Well, loving is different.
Know.
So let me walk through
because
what you said is what you said is right and can be wrong, Remy. So let me clarify for our listeners so we understand. So there's three parts of forgiveness. There's forgiveness, reconciliation, and restoration. Those three things are not all the same, but a lot of times we lump them into the same. So people will say, if you forgive me, then I should be able to have the same relationship with you before.
And
forgiveness isn't based on anyone else's responsibility. It's only based on ours. We are called to forgive, and we are called to actually be ambassadors of reconciliation. That means to put peace as best as we can towards each other. That still does not mean restoring people to the same relationship.
Okay.
Restoration is based off of them.
Right.
So restoration is based off of, I can forgive the person who abused me.
Yeah.
I can forgive. I can make sure that there's no enmity between myself and them, because that's my responsibility that Christ brings. But no, I'm not going to put myself back into an abusive relationship.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's restoration.
That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, I know. That's why, why I'm clarifying that is for our listeners.
I'm glad you did. I misunderstood that.
No, because so often that's what we struggle with the church all the time. They'll say, but you're asking me to forgive them, but they keep doing this. And I said, no. Forgiveness is about you, God, and how you then view them.
Right. Yeah.
Restoration is your earthly relationship with them.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's based off of healthy boundaries.
Right.
It's based off of what God says is right. So sometimes what you just said is right, Rami. Loving them is needing to change the relationship, because the way that they're trying to live in this relationship is unhealthy.
Exactly my point. Because, this is so personal to me.
Yes.
It's so personal on, like, a crazy level that when I talk about it, it's because it's coming from, like, something I see every day to this day.
You're still healing.
I'm still healing, and I'm still watching my mom loving unconditionally with no boundaries.
That
shouldn't be the case. I have to have boundaries.
100%.
I have to have.
Let's be clear.
Absolutely essential.
Like, I want to be clear with anyone listening who may be, let's just say, for example, in an abusive relationship.
Right.
And like you just alluded to, Kyle, sometimes people say, I forgave this person, and they tell me, they're telling you that they keep coming back and they're doing the same thing over and over again. You need to take a step back and 100%. Get some help.
100%.
Do not allow you. Do not allow yourself anyone who is in any kind of abusive, verbal, physical, emotional, any kind of abusive relationship. It is not. If you've forgiven, that's incredible, 100%. And God bless you, and good on you for doing that. Don't allow yourself to continue to suffer that abuse because you forgave.
100%.
Or because you think love has to look this way.
No, love actually has boundaries.
Right.
Right? So, you know, look, from the very beginning, in Genesis 1, God unconditionally loved them, right? They're an amazing place.
Right.
And yet he said, here's what you can do, here's what you can't do.
Yeah, exactly.
Stepping out of that is going to affect our relationship.
Thank you.
Okay, so there's boundaries to love.
Mm-hmm.
We have to make sure, and this is where forgiveness is essential for healing, we have to make sure that we are not setting boundaries out of punishment, but out of healthy perspective.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and a lot of times that's hard to do because we have pain involved.
Mm-hmm.
We have a sense of self-righteousness and justice, right? You did this, therefore there should be responsibility. And that's why restoration is a lot bigger of a picture than forgiveness. Forgiveness is about accepting what Jesus has done on the cross, applying it into your life, and applying it into that circumstance in a way that lets healing come into that circumstance.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah,
and then that doesn't mean restoration, it means healing. So then that is reconciliation.
That mountain starts from there because the mountain starts right in front of the you start with forgiveness, and then you climb the mountain.
You can't. There's nowhere else with forgiveness. There's no path. The door is forgiveness.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you keep climbing up.
Yeah.
What is the danger in not forgiving someone? What is the danger long term on how that can affect your relationship? You're a saved person.
Yes.
But you've been through something traumatic, difficult, whatever it may be, and you sense that maybe your relationship with Christ is kind of at stagnant,
held back
because of your lack of forgiveness.
Pain can't be quarantined. And so what we think is if I was just speaking with someone about this just the other day, you know, if my husband or my wife hurt me, I'm never going to go down that road again. I'm never going to get in that kind of relationship again. And you think that protects you. That's the only area that pain is going to bother you.
Yeah.
But pain can't be quarantined. And so you start to then shut down emotionally on all sorts of different levels. That critical nature, that negative nature, that not willing to trust people doesn't just go into that one lane. I'll never trust a spouse again. It begins to begin, I'll never trust people again.
Yeah.
I'll never trust pastors again. I'll never trust God again. And we can't quarantine that pain. And that's why we keep saying that, bringing back to forgiveness. Forgiveness is the first step to being able to get the knife out so that healing can begin. It's not healing. It's the first step towards healing.
Right.
So if we're not willing to wrestle with that, then there is really no way for healing to come in. And it will bleed into every relationship that you have, including your vertical one with God.
Mm-hmm.
And what ends up happening is so often we'll put up a good picture on the outside. And then if you're an achiever like the three of us are, we'll go, but look, I mean, I know I'm hurting, but look at all the good things. I'm a good dad. I'm a good mom. I'm a good this. I did this. I'm all right, because look at everything I've done.
Yeah.
And at the core, God's not really looking at what you've done. He's looking at who you are.
So true.
I we just said it the other day, like you cannot pretend to be a hero. You cannot wear a cape and pretend to be a hero. You're not going to fly anywhere. You're not going to go anywhere.
Yep.
You might look cool to people. You might look like a hero to other people, but to yourself, you're not a hero. You're going to be...
I love how you put it that day.
You're not going to fly anywhere. You're not going to go anywhere. You're you're just going to keep walking straight.
Yes, correct.
It's not going to do anything for you. So the pain that life threw at you is just something that you have to go through. It just... something that God is trying to take you through, because everybody has to walk through something. So my pain could be painted different than your pain,
100%.
But it's still pain, and everybody has to walk through it to heal a certain way. And some people can and some people can't. And as he said in an interview, it's either you let it bear you or you can just go through it and know that this is something that God wants you to go through to come out and do something else with that pain and help other people.
Let me, I just want our listeners to to hear me say, look, the truth is that God never intended pain to be in our lives.
No.
And so that pain, that hurt, that abuse saddens him as much as it has affected you. And so just know your Heavenly Father is, he loves you so much. You're not alone in the midst of that pain.
That's right.
And if he is the healer, that's who he is. It's not what he does. It's actually who he is. He wants to bring that into your life because he is so saddened to see his beloved daughter, his beloved son, broken in that way. And so that's just know in this moment, if you're going through it, and Remy, you said, look, pain is relative. We all go through pain and it's painted differently.
Yeah.
But we all face it.
Yeah.
When you're facing it, just know that he is there to bring healing.
100%.
Let me just add real quick that pain doesn't define you.
It doesn't
that
define
pain
you.
Doesn't
Absolutely.
Define you. And a perfect example of not allowing that pain to define you and rising above it and becoming an inspirational, motivational figure that he is John Dorenbos. And we're going to hear from former Eagles long snapper John Dorenbos next on Faith on a Field Show, presented by Karen University.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at karen.edu.
Welcome back to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Karen University. Rob, Remy, and Pastor Kyle. I want to take a minute to thank all of our sponsors. We can't do this without your support, so please check them out on our sponsor page at faithonafieldshow.com and follow them on social media. They are great companies and even better people, so thank you to Karen University, Heritage's Dairy Store, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, California Closets, Spirit Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Swedesboro, Restelli Foods Group, Narstown Hospitality Center, Brenda Lee Uchler and Associates, and Oliver Heating and Cooling. Let me tell you about Oliver. The cold weather is here, and I needed to make sure my family stayed warm at home this winter. We had an old gas furnace that I didn't trust to get us through another season of freezing temperatures. So I reached out to Oliver Heating and Cooling, and I couldn't be happier. Dan came over for an estimate, and we hit it off right away. Just a great guy who knew exactly what my home needed. A couple days later, Scott and Matt installed a high-efficient modulating gas furnace. They did an awesome job. They went above and beyond to make sure everything was perfect, even made sure I understood all the wireless features and everything else. I've had a lot of bad experiences over the years, but now I know I will never have to worry about heating, cooling, plumbing, or electrical needs because I fully trust Oliver. They're a family-run business rooted in strong faith and have been committed to providing superior service for nearly 50 years. I absolutely love Oliver's mission to build a trusting, long-term relationship with our associates and serve our clients' indoor comfort needs by honoring God in all we do and treating others as we want to be treated. They are simply the best. If you're in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Delaware, look for the White Dove and call Oliver at 888-433-1574 to schedule an appointment today for any maintenance or installation for your HVAC, plumbing, or electrical needs. Right now, Oliver is offering a special deal, only $69.95 for a heating tune-up for new customers, and you can save up to $1,850 on the new installation of a heating and air conditioning system. So schedule an appointment today with my guys at Oliver Heating and Cooling. Call 888-433-1574. That's 888-433-1574. Or email them at oliverheatcool.com. Oliver, comfort you can trust. Our guest, John Dorenbos, began his NFL career with the Buffalo Bills in 2003. He played two seasons there, spent a half season in Tennessee, joined the Eagles in 2006, and he was here until 2017. He is a Philly fan favorite. The Eagles traded him to New Orleans, and it saved his life. Doctors found a heart condition that ended his career, but he's only getting started. As a magician, an author, a motivational speaker, I really enjoyed my conversation with John Dorenbos. Here is that interview.
John, your story is so well documented. I've written about it in years past, but just for our listeners who may not have heard it, Can you just share your childhood at 12 years old, finding out that your dad killed your mom, what you went through and how you overcame that?
I mean, it's a moment where your entire life gets turned upside down. And, you know, one of the two people that you trust in your life that's going to show you how to live, how to trust, how to love, ends up betraying you more than anybody. So my sister and I went through intense therapy. We lived about a year and a half in a temporary foster home. And then we were adopted by my aunt, who's my mom's sister, and moved down to Southern California. And it was about discovering life again. It was about finding purpose. It was about trying to find some sort of positivity and some sort of motivation in just a horrible, horrible tragedy.
And as you were doing that and as you were going through that, going in and foster homes, and was there a point where, you know, you felt lost, confused, depressed, down? How did you get through that through turning to magic?
You're going to have stages of all that, right? And mm-hmm. a lot of it, too, is with the anger and the depression and the confusion is it's this journey of coming to terms with your own reality and of having peace of what your past and your future hold. And so I saw a guy do magic, and I was, you know, 16 years old, and I'll never forget the way I felt. I'll never forget that when I was a kid, the world just quieted. All the noise disappeared. And, you know, this kid watching this trick, and life made sense because I was just a kid again. Mm-hmm. And so when I shuffled cards and when I would hear just the clicking sound, the shuffling sound, that's when the world made sense. And I got into magic, and it took me on this journey and this path. It's just, it's been a dream come true.
Well, your new book out is called Life is Magic, and it is truly an inspirational story from tragedy to self-discovery. And I was just going through your chapter on forgiveness, which is just such a powerful lesson for all of us out there, that forgiveness, you know, really isn't about the person that you're forgiving, but it's about you and about how you can handle it, deal with it, and move on with your life. Can you take us through the point in your life when you finally realized that, yeah, you had said I had forgiven my father for doing this, my dad for doing this, but did I really? And then you really had to forgive him.
So that's a real powerful concept. And what I had to do is redefine what forgiveness means to me. And like you just stated, I've talked to a lot of people about this issue, and a lot of people do think that forgiving is about winning and losing. It's about, you know, either I agree with what you did, I'm okay with what you did, you know, the score is even, one up and all this. I learned that forgiveness isn't about that. And so I had thought I'd forgiven my dad in my 20s, but I'd never said the words out loud. And it had been 26 years since I'd seen him, since he went to Longwood State Penitentiary. And then sure enough, about a couple weeks before my daughter was born, and this was 5 months ago, a couple weeks before my daughter was born, I felt like I had to have my life come full circle, and I needed to say those three words. And my motivation, I didn't need validation, I didn't need answers, I didn't want anything from my dad, but I wanted to sit across from him at lunch and just say, I forgive you. And I didn't forgive him for killing my mom and taking her away, but I forgave him for being lost. I forgave him for making mistakes, both of which I've done many. And I realized that in that moment, I'm not here for him. I don't care what he says. Like it was about me coming to terms with my past. And then at the same time, I wanted to relive that relationship. I wanted to feel every emotion I had ever felt, the things we missed out on, how life could have been, the confusion, the hate, all these things. I wanted to come back, and I wanted to find a motivation within that moment to make me a better dad for my daughter and to be a better dad than I had. You can go one of two ways. You can either make excuses and go downhill, and then everybody looks and says, oh, well, you know, that's why Dornbos ended up like that. You should have seen what happened to his parents.
Yeah.
Or you rise above. Become a person of vision. And everything bad that happens to you in life, you use it as a roadmap of what not to do and where not to go. So that's what I chose to do. I wanted that meeting with my dad. I wanted to come out a better husband, and I wanted to come out a better father due to the emotions that I felt. And when I forgave him, it was probably the most powerful thing I ever did. And after 5.5 hours, I came home. And now take in mind, I had never had lunch with my dad, right? Like him and I, when I became an adult, we never were a father-son that just met for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And so in my book, the very first thing, the dedication, it says to my daughter, Amaya, you'll always be able to have lunch with your daddy. And that statement right there means so much more than just sitting and having lunch. It's that I'll always be there for you, and I'll always try and guide you, and I'll always try and protect you, and I'll always try and just help you in any way I can in this world, because you're the love of my life, and I'm going to give you what I never had.
Bro, I want to tell you how that touched me, because I just read that 15 minutes ago, and my daughters are a twin girl, 6 years old, and their favorite thing to do in life is just hang out with daddy right now, and I'm going to ride that for as long as I can, and I'm always so busy, and they're on their way home from school right now, and as soon as we get off the phone, you and I'm about to go hang out with them, just be, you know, so you're touching people, man, with everything you say, everything you write. It's powerful. What was your dad's reaction, if you don't mind sharing that? Could you talk about that a little bit, when you forgave him?
I think I shocked him a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think he was taken back a little bit. You know, a lot of the conversation was superficial. I mean, it really was like two strangers meeting, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of an awkward kind of chit-chat to begin with. And then, you know, we talked, but it was two strangers sitting down. And so, you know, finally when I said, hey, I forgive you for being lost, I think that was a moment that the conversation got real. And he looked up at me and I don't think he was expecting to hear it. And regardless of what his reaction was, there were moments in the conversation that I got a little angry and that I wanted answers. And I just pull back, because that's not why I'm there. Don't go down a path that you weren't set out to do. And it sounds cheesy, but I was so fortunate to play in the NFL for so long, because it taught me how to game plan, stay focused, how to execute, how to prepare. And I literally prepared for that lunch like I did a game. Wow. And in the moments that I started to veer from the game plan, I just pulled back and got back on track to why I was there. And it helped. It was cool.
That's incredible. Talk to me about playing in the NFL. Having such a long career, established career, successful career as a long snapper in the NFL. I mean, I don't know any kid who might grow up and go, yeah, this is what I want to do in the NFL. But at what point did you realize that dream to be in the NFL was close to becoming reality and seize that opportunity?
So we had a pro day when I was at Texas El Paso, and pretty much Brian Matkin went on to play for the Titans. He came back and was like, yo, man, you can snap in the league. You should use my agent. And I was like, well, I don't have any other options. So cool. So I ended up signing with Ken Harris from Huffman Sports Management. I'm so happy I did. I'm proud to say I had one agent my entire career. Right. It was a great relationship. We're still friends. But when I had that pro day, I think it finally dawned on me that, hey, Brian said I could do this. All right, let's give it a shot. And so sure enough, the Buffalo Bills gave me a shot. I ended up playing there 2 years, and I went to the Titans. And then, as you know, I spent most of my career in Philadelphia, and I loved it. It was a dream. It literally is the coolest job in the world. I mean, I was a long snapper. I got to reap all the benefits without having to be as athletic as everybody else. You know, check that off the box. You know, it was cool.
Yeah, well, it's the greatest job in the world unless you mess up a snap, and you didn't do that. So,
and you know what's funny? So now that I've been 2 years removed, I watch it on TV, and maybe, you know, fans watching the game, when they watched me, they thought this, maybe not, but, like, they make it look so easy, and it is such a hard job. Like, it was hard for me for a long time. It's hard.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, I mean, that's why there's only 32 guys doing it in the world, man, who could do that job. Hey, your journey, though, it didn't stop there. You get to the end. Like, it's just such an incredible story, and culminated by this heart condition that was life-threatening. When you found out about that, like, did you ever stop and think, like, some people can in those moments can be like, why me? Why is this happening to me, God? Like, why are you – and I mean, knowing you and as positive of a thinker as you are, I'm sure you just attacked it head on. But what were you going through during that time?
So one of the things that I'm really proud about the book that I wrote is it's not a sports book per se. Mm-hmm. It's all the things that I've been through and the moments that I felt like I was a victim and the moments I started feeling sorry for myself and the moment that I started to head down the path that wasn't the right path, it's how I got out of that moment. Mm-hmm. And how I found myself back on the right path to happiness. And I was bitter, and then all of a sudden I was like, this isn't the way this is supposed to end. I had just signed a 3-year extension for millions, and I'm like, dude, this is like, I've worked too hard. I'm finally playing a team that wears all black. I'm gonna look thin finally for my career. Like, come on, you know. And then you sit back and you know, my mom's best friend, Leslie Morrison, went beneath my wings at her funeral. And when I signed with the Eagles, there it was. I was an Eagle. And the wind was beneath my wings. And I thought that good things are going to happen here. And so sure enough, I was traded to New Orleans to have my life saved by a saint. And the moment that I started to feel bad for myself, I started to get angry, Drew Brees walked by me. And I saw the last name Brees. Wow. And you got to find the positive in it. So I told myself that I had to step out of the wind and catch a breeze. And that's what I did. And it saved my life. You know, I mean, literally going to New Orleans saved my life.
Man, that's incredible. You know, that is just such an incredible story. Your story's not done being written, and I know you've chronicled it in your new book, which is available everywhere books are sold. Life is Magic. It's an incredible book. I encourage everyone out there to go out there and check it out. But, you know, from that, you end up on America's Got Talent. Now you're frequently appearing on Ellen DeGeneres' show. Like, all of this stuff that is happening to you, you're a motivational speaker, you're going out there talking to Fortune 500 companies and all that stuff. Could you have ever envisioned that?
All right, I'm going to sound probably arrogant, but it's everything I've ever wanted.
Man.
It's everything I've ever dreamed of. And you know what the reality is?
Mm-hmm.
If you can't see it, then you ain't going to get it. If you don't want it, nobody's going to give it to you. And so, you know, to me, people ask me, how did you do all these things? How did you, you know, compete on that show and play in the NFL and do all these things at such a high level? Show up. I believe this.
Strong.
You want to be great? Show up. Just show up. Show up on time. Show up prepared and ready to work. And watch what happens. Because what ends up happening, people jump off the path, man.
Yeah.
You know, drugs, excuses, kids, I don't care what it is. They just jump off the path.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, you're the last man standing. I truly believe that if you want to be great at something, you got to show up. You got to show up for yourself, and you got to show up for other people. And so, you know, I've tried to live a life of treating people right, of bringing joy anywhere I go, and trying to contribute in a positive way to a team effort. And I'll never forget one of my favorite coaches was Coach A. That was in, my junior college coach. And his basic philosophy is, be a teammate that your teammates would hate to lose, and be a teammate that every opponent fears. If you do that, if you be a teammate that your team would hate to lose and every opponent fears and respects, you're going to win in this life more than you lose. So every time you're a chance to be part of a team, contribute, work together, have fun. And then the next thing you know, people don't want you to leave. They just want you around. And then the next thing you know, they're picking you up. They're the ones lifting you up because they just want to do great things with you. You treat people right, and you show up, and you execute, good things happen. And so my whole life, I love magic. I love football. I've always wanted to do these things at a high level. But in that, I never wanted these to define who I am as a person. You know, I never wanted to play in the NFL and then be down and be like, oh, that's John the football guy. I'm not John the magic guy.
Yeah.
I'm John, and I'm proud of it. And these are things that make me me. And I just show up, man. I show up and I try and have fun and change the world. And it's amazing the journey that I've been able to go on. It's amazing the opportunities I've been able to have. But I think at the end of the day, just show up.
Man, don't ever think that that's arrogant, because that's just pure confidence, and that's just using the gifts and the abilities that you've been blessed with to the best of your power, man. So I truly appreciate you sharing this message with us. Look forward to getting through the entire book rather than skimming through the chapters. And, you know, is there anything you want to say to your fans still in Philadelphia, because they love you here?
Man, I love every single one of them, man. I had the time of my life in Philly, so I'm excited to get back there throughout the year and anytime I can. So if you guys see me around, please say hi, because meeting you guys, you know what I say? Playing in the NFL, the most fun part for me about playing in the NFL was sharing it with the fans. And I would always bring kids down to play catch, because every time I went on the field.
Yeah.
So how about this? I'm 13 years old. I lost both my parents. And my friends would take me to Seattle Mariners games. I was a huge King Griffey Jr. fan at JB Inter, right, because I lived up in Seattle. And every game I went to, sitting in the upper deck, I thought that was the game that Griffey was going to obviously see me, call me down, and we were going to play catch. And so every time I hit the field, I always pulled the kid out.
Wow.
And I always played catch with my 14-year-old self, my 13-year-old self. And for me, people ask me, hey, do you miss it? Look, I had my time.
Yeah.
I love the game, but my time's up, and the game is good. My body hurts. You know, I'm good there. I'm just playing catch with my 13-year-old self. That was probably the coolest thing in the world.
You ever get a chance to tell Griffey Jr. that story?
Dude, let me tell you. So I finally get on the phone with him, and I'm flying. I decide I want to learn how to fly a plane years ago. He flies the plane I want to fly. Jamie Moyer ends up connecting us. That conversation could not have gone worse. Like, he called me, and I wasn't expecting Griffey to call me. Now, look, I've been in the league, made a couple Pro Bowls. I completely froze. started sweating, heart started racing, and he's like, porn boss, it's Junior, and I'm like, hold. And like my whole, you know what it was? My entire childhood came back. Like, it was super emotional for me. And, he's like, I heard you want to learn how to fly, and you got questions. Are you ready for this, dude?
Wow.
So, think about this. You're learning how to fly. Think about how many questions there are.
Right.
You know what I mean? I literally was like, I got a question for you. So, how long do you sit in your plane?
Oh, my goodness.
That's the question I asked Griffey. How long do you sit in your plane? He's like, I don't know, from the time I sit to the time I get out, however long the flight is. I don't know, maybe an hour, two, 3 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, man, that's got all the questions I got for you. I really appreciate your time. I completely choked, dude. So next time I see him, I'm going to be like, yo, dude, we need to start over. I'm the idiot that calls you and you talk to me about flying and I ask you how long you sit in your plane. It could have got worse, but.
Go ahead.
I was overwhelmed.
Go have a catch with him. Oh, I got to ask you this too. I mean, after being here, knowing how important it was to this city, when they finally win that Super Bowl, and you're not part of that team, I'm sure you're happy for everybody there. What were your emotions like?
Well, so I'm gonna take you back a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I get out of the hospital. My wife and I spent over 30 days post surgery in the hospital. After my heart surgery, I was on a ton of pills. I didn't watch really any football, and I couldn't travel for a while. And so we go to Barbies, which is in South Philly at the Navy Yard. Mm-hmm. And, for the last couple of years there, anytime I go out, people, hey, Dormos, what's up? Picture, autograph, cool. And it was all good. And for whatever reason, it didn't really dawn on me until we left. Nobody bothered us. So we went on the patio. There's a lot of people there. My wife and I sat down, and not one person asked us a question. Wow. And we sat and we ate, and then I had a pillow that I had to squeeze against my chest, and every time I cough or laugh or sneeze, you have to squeeze this pillow to equalize the pressure so that your sternum doesn't pop back open. And so I'd forgotten my pillow, so I slid my feet to the car, I got my pillow, I came back, and then we basically paid the tab, and now I'm sliding my feet, walking really slow, and my wife's helping me, and I'm going to get choked up here. I kid you not, as we walked away, one guy started slow clapping. And then I turned around, mm-hmm. and then it was two people, and then three, and then the entire patio.
Oh, my goodness. And wow.
That was a moment that I think my entire career in Philadelphia resonated with me, and it just hit me, and how thankful I was, and also that the way I lived and the way I played, and the teammate that I was to the team and the city, I just felt like that at that moment, I just felt the appreciation and the respect from the fans. And then when we drove away, they all cheered. And I literally still get choked up because it was probably
it's beautiful, man.
One of the coolest moments of my life, dude. And I got a slow clap from, Barbies, So when the team gave me the ring, Jeff Lurie was like, hey, man, this ring isn't because you played here for this season. This ring is because you're alive. This ring is, the 11 and a half years that you spent, the record that you broke, it was you helping to build the culture in this building that got us here. And you deserve this. And no matter what anybody says, you're an Eagle for life. And I hope when you look at this ring, you remember about how much hard work it took and how much you love being alive because you're a Kafka kid. And I lost it, dude.
Wow.
And so, a couple things happened, right? I mean, I'd never heard of a long snapper being traded for a draft pick.
Yeah,
and I sure as heck have never heard of a team trading a player and giving him a Super Bowl ring after he didn't even play.
Right,
and I'm on both those, so I'll take it. I got so much love for that city and that fan base. The bottom line is, whether they like it or not, Philly stuck with me for life.
Man, that's awesome. John, well, I really appreciate you spending some time with us here. And look forward to seeing you, man, when you're in town. All right?
Yeah. And the website for the book, they can just go to lifeismagic.com.
Lifeismagic.com?
Yeah. And if there's anything said about that, mm-hmm. I think the thing that I would be proud of is that I hope that people that read it that are maybe struggling with having closure of either an event in their life, something, or trying to find forgiveness in someone, I hope reading the book helps them get clarity in that. And that was my goal in writing this book.
That's absolutely perfect and beautiful. I love that.
So,
So lifeismagic.com, Life is Magic, available where all books are sold. John Dorenbos, thank you so much, man. Appreciate you spending a few minutes with us.
That was former Eagles long snapper John Dorenbos. We'll wrap it up when we come back on Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.
And welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. Rob, Remy, and Pastor Kyle. If you missed any of our past episodes, go to faithonthefieldshow.com. You can find every past show and listen anytime at your convenience. We're also now on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and follow us on Facebook at Faith on the Field. You can sign up for our weekly email list and get our weekly episode and blog delivered right there to your inbox. Make sure you follow us at Rob Motti, at Remy Motti, and Kyle is at Kyle J. Horner. We'll let you know about speaking appearances and other events. The Rob Motti Show at Center Square Tavern in Woolwich Township is every Tuesday night, 6 to 8 p.m. It's a great time. There's excellent food, super people. So come on out for sports talk, giveaways, prizes, special guests. Last Sunday, Remy was the guest speaker at Abundant Life Ministries of Philadelphia. You were amazing. Aww. Such a special day.
Thanks, babe.
Pastor Rob Pinckney celebrating his wife, Dana. That was awesome. Really enjoyed hearing you there. Really enjoyed everything they did there.
That was so fun. First of all, I've never watched anybody honor his wife like that. Like in that such
I know.
Like that was so good.
Great
so
job.
Good. Like, no, props to him. So I mean, you're amazing. But
thank
seriously,
you.
That was really good service. And the Holy Spirit is really present in that room, in that place. So I really enjoyed it. It was really awesome.
Well, you did an awesome job. The Spirit really shining through you, and everyone there was just so welcoming and so loving. It's such a great, wonderful place. Yeah. So we wish Pastor Rob and Dana our very best as they continue their ministry with Abundant Life Ministries of Philadelphia right there on North Broad Street in Philadelphia. We are out of time this week. Thank you to all our listeners and followers. Thanks to John Dorenbos for sharing a powerful story. Thank you to our EVP of Business Operations, Doug Horton. Huge thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman. Excellent work he does for us on everything, website, podcast, blog. Jim Henderson, thank you for the work behind the scenes. Brett and Ryan, thank you for producing the show. 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, Enjoy FM Sports, thank you for airing Faith on the Field, presented by Cairn University. For Remy and Kyle, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.